Thank you for joining me. Welcome back. This is podcast number 5. I'm planning a new mystery series. I've been thinking this week about some of the minor supporting characters, their names, their nationalities, their personalities, and I've made some adjustments. I've also come up with some more plot points for the story, and I've developed a new character. Because Emily needs an enemy, a candidate to be her nemesis. Emily herself, I can see quite clearly now. She's got short dark hair, a bright, clever face. She's got an inquisitive nature. She's kind. She's fearless. She's a little bit sad because her dog has just died. And in fact, this is going to be her Achilles heel as an investigator. Because she's convinced that she's seen one of the knife-throwing girls die in front of her eyes. And when she relates that back to a story about seeing her dog Jessie die, instead of adding credibility to her suspicions, it makes her seem emotional, as if she's not thinking clearly, as if she's getting mixed up or she's upset because her dog has died. And so that isolates her. It means she's very much on her own when she's trying to uncover what really happened on the night of the party. As for minor characters, I really like Dr. Muriel. She's hearty and wise. She's frank to the point of being rude. I think she's going to be a fun character to write, and I hope she's going to be a fun character to read. So I haven't made any changes to her. But Emily's love interest was going to be called Peter. He was going to be Polish. And then I started thinking about a Hungarian man that I had a brief romance with many years ago. And he had dark hair. He was very tall. He was extremely good looking. And I mean, of course, I don't need to base this character in the book on a real life person, because all I'm going to take away from that is that he's tall, dark, and handsome, and that's hardly groundbreaking for the romantic hero in a story. But I've got very attached to the idea that he's a tall Hungarian, and that means I've got to change his name because Peter is not a Hungarian name. So he's going to be called Joseph. The English people in the book will call him Joe. He's going to have the same characteristics that he was going to have all along. So he's going to speak with a poetic turn of phrase. He's going to be very protective towards Emily. And the knife-throwing girls are also going to be Hungarian. And I had given them placeholder names of Lottie and Lily. And so I've given them Hungarian names now, Zizi and Zsa-Zsa. And Zsa Zsa is the one who apparently dies with a kitchen knife embedded in her chest. And then when the police arrive, she turns up again and takes a bow in her bloody stained costume, apparently unscathed. And the two girls, Zizi and Zsa Zsa, are quite antagonistic and hostile towards Emily, right from when they first see her, when she peers into their boudoir as they're putting their makeup on and getting ready for their knife throwing act. And they've got blonde hair. They've still got their blue grey costumes. There's something shark like about that that I'm going to bring out in the text. And obviously they've got some sort of secret. Emily has seen something, but she doesn't know what. And the other person who perhaps has stumbled on their secret unwittingly is the Japanese DJ, and I've changed her name as well. I called her a placeholder name of Suki, but that's not a Japanese name. There is a word, suki, which means like or to like, but it's not a name. So I'm going to give her the stage name of DJ Hanabi. And apologies for my Japanese pronunciation, which is, as you'll have noticed, no better than my singing. But Hanabi means fireworks, literally means fire flowers in Japanese. So beautiful, beautiful words. And her real name is going to be Midori, which means green or melon. And so I should be able to get a joke out of that somewhere. And she's seen something, but she doesn't know that she's seen it. So she's in danger. And I wanted to set this on bonfire night because of the explosions as the fireworks go off and the mixture of danger and excitement in the air. And of course, there's a possibility of gunshots being masked by the sound of the fireworks going off. And if someone gets shot, I think it'll probably be Midori. I'd like to shoot her. We'll see how... I haven't developed her as a character very much yet. If she gets interesting, I don't want her to die. So she's got to... the next few days, while I think about her to prove herself. I did think about her going down as if she's been shot mid-set while she's playing her records. And then it turns out that she's got food poisoning. But I also thought that I need to be careful because this is supposed to be a mystery. And we've already had a girl who's apparently stabbed to death and then turns up and takes a bow as if she's pulled off some theatrical coup. But I want to keep the reader's interest. If I then have Midori apparently shot, but actually suffering the after effects of a dodgy prawn, then people might give up on the book and not find it very interesting. So some of the scenes I've been thinking about are the scenes between Joe and Emily, who now, of course, unfortunately have very English names like toddlers playing up in Starbucks. But they'll be written in such a way with Joe being so tall and so handsome and so Hungarian and Emily being so feisty and inquisitive that it won't really matter at all what they're called. There's the scene after the knife throwing where they reveal something of themselves to each other and to us, the readers. This is his opportunity to use his poetic turn of phrase. He says something to her along the lines of, "You'll smell as though you've been forged in a volcano." And, you know, she'll think that's lovely. And he'll talk about his background and how he's made these beautiful sculptures with his blacksmith's training. And she'll talk about the death of her dog. And obviously I'm writing this because my dog died. And so I wanted to have a heroine whose dog has died. And I was really worried about it. I hoped that my dog would die in her sleep and she got more and more frail and more old. And in the end, I had to get the vet to come round. And it was actually a really peaceful death. So much so that in my emotional state, I felt that I could almost enjoy going round with the vet from house to house, watching as animals are killed peacefully. And but of course, that sounds a bit weird. I mean, so I have to be careful about how much of my own thoughts and feelings I give to Emily, because she's supposed to be, you know, a straightforward, jolly heroine, and not weird at all. And the other scene that I've been thinking about is the introduction of Emily's potential nemesis, and he's the new character, Chris, who is the leader of the theatre troupe. He's English, although most of them are from abroad, and he has a very sardonic way of talking, and he's slightly superior to everybody in his manner, and he acts as if Emily is an idiot and as if she's anti-art. And so it could be that he's somehow manipulating what's going on, and that he's responsible for whatever it is that's going on at this house. And something, make no mistake, something is going on, and Emily's going to find out what it is. So I'm going to write some of that up and then perhaps read from it in the next podcast. So please come back. Thank you for joining me. Bye-bye.